try to see the invisibility of your neighbor. Look past the form. Try to realize the image you're seeing is in your mind. God didn't place that form image there. Whether the person is healthy or not. God made no healthy person. God made no unhealthy person. God made no you, man, image. Spirit can only create perfection. Spirit can only create spiritual images in the likeness of God. And that is all that can be here, no matter what we see. And so look into the invisible nature of your neighbor and accept there that God created divine image. Forgive the thief on the cross. Forgive the adulteress. Forgive yourself. Forgive means cross out the false image. It's only in your mind. Seven million times seven. Infinitely forgive. Wipe out. Judge not the appearance. It's only in your mind. Take no thought. We are being open to the inner voice. Behold, I in the midst of you. I will show you a way called the Christ way. I make all things new. I make your life new. Your total life is reborn. You are returned to eternity here. I am the resurrection. I'm not 3,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago. I am. I am the invisible life of the adulteress. I am the invisible life of the thief on the cross. I am the invisible life of the infirm and the weary. Is there one that I am not the life of? Is there another than I? Am I not the life of you? We begin to yield these mind patterns that have crystallized unto the third and fourth generation. We come over the iniquities of the fathers who have preceded us, over the iniquities of the world mind, which is the father of the human race. God is not the father of the human race, but the father of the human race is the world mind. And by accepting a creature body, a graven image, as our body, we are denying the fatherhood of God. This weak, miserable, dying body created by God, this weak, miserable body, my body, I refuse to live in it. You see, we have been hypnotized by the world mind. And again, the second commandment is revealing the sense hypnosis of the world, which remanufactures perfection into an interpretation. And there is no fulfillment in a human body. None whatsoever. We have even come to see that it is just a cosmic snapshot, a cosmic Polaroid. And as we live with this a while and take no thought, the soul begins to show us that kingdom which is here. It begins to pour forth those things which the human mind could not reach, which appear as the hidden manna, the fruits of the Spirit, the higher gifts. They flow. The tree of life flows forth with 12 fruits that are imperishable. You find you're living in the will and the wisdom of the Father. You are the light itself shining forth. And you're through playing charades. You're finished with mouthing the words. You are it. You are it, the living self. You are giving Christ to drink. The Christ of your own being is no longer thirsty. All around us then, with our eyes open, we are looking at graven images. Our ears are listening to the voice of those graven images. They threaten us, they torment us, they demand things of us, and we respond, and there's nobody there. Only a graven image in your mind. Your own mind is talking the very threat that you think is out there. Your own lacks and limitations are graven images in your mind. There's no one out there with these lacks and limitations. Be ye perfect. Step out of the belief in an imperfect graven image. Repent. Rise above, turn back from the graven image. And that is all that resurrection and ascension is going to be. Overcoming the belief that I walk in a tomb of flesh. You know that science has helped you to do this to some extent. Once you were just 86 cents worth of chemicals in science's eyes. Then they upgraded you. You became atoms. First molecules and then atoms. And then subatoms. Always showing more and more of the nothingness of what we call matter. Until we finally rent the entire disguise and see the one seamless spirit. Do you see that atoms have to be separated from other atoms? And spirit is unseparated? Do you see now that there are two channels of thought? There is that channel of thought which is separated from spirit. It is the decoy. It is the veil. And there is that channel of thought which is unseparated from spirit. You've got to be in the channel of thought that is one with spirit and not in the separated channel. And then you receive a different substance. One substance dies, one lives eternally. One substance is the kingdom of God, one is this world. One substance is impure and must objectify as impurity. One substance is immaculate and objectifies that way. Choose ye. Divine thought, unseparated thought, or separated thought which is impure, imperfect, finite, temporary, ever lacking, ever thinking it can find what is not in its own substance. Who controls your consciousness? If you let it run by itself, you'll find that it's controlled by the world mind. It will always live in the impure channel of thought. Sometimes it will even say that it is very brilliant while it's living in the impure channel of thought. It will say, look what I discovered and look what I invented. It will make great claims about its contributions to humanity. You should know that no matter what claims are made by the human mind, as long as it lives in material sense, no matter what it does, will be nothing more than a graven image, separated from reality. If we conquer space physically, we're still the same graven image. If we have the highest moral behavior as human beings, we're still the same graven image. And that is why neither religion nor science is of any real value. They can improve your humanhood. They can improve your material sense. But they can only build new graven images, because neither religion nor science are attempting to walk in the kingdom of spirit. Don't look for any great improvements in science and outer space to bring us closer to God. Because if you want to get closer to God, you've already lost your opportunity. You cannot get closer. There's no way. Closer than hands and feet, I in the midst of you am your very being. How much closer can you get than being that which you're trying to get close to? It's the realization of your being which frees you from the veil. It isn't a space colony in the sky. It isn't obeying the literal law. It isn't being good to your mother and good to your sister and good to your father. The only way you can be good to anyone is to see their invisible self. And if you see their invisible self, you'll be good to them. You'll be so good you can't stop giving what you've got. You can't stop sharing, bestowing, blessing, because love must pour forth when you know them as they are. It's only when you don't know them as they are that you find yourself in a different kind of emotional or mental state about what they should be doing or what you should be doing. And you find all forms of criticism only well up when you have not eliminated the false picture you have in your mind about you first. You are the nucleus of all the other graven images you maintain in your consciousness. You are the first target that must be liberated, or else you will see everyone else through the veil of your own false identity. But Christ doesn't see the thief, does he? Christ doesn't see the adulteress. Why? Because Christ has already eliminated the false sense of self within Christ. Christ doesn't look out from a graven image and doesn't see a graven image, and says, maid, arise. Young man, come out of that coffin. Lazarus, come forth. Let's not play games here. There are no graven images that are dead. If they existed, God would have had to make them. And God takes no pleasure in your dying. It is not the will of the Father that you die, and therefore you cannot. It is the will of the Father that you be perfect, and therefore you are. And you are perfect because you are His image and likeness now. You don't have to hunt for it. You don't have to seek it in the future. You simply have to throw off the false belief that you're not. And there you are. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father. Keep your mind stayed on this, says Isaiah. Hold to it. Don't stray. Don't become a prodigal in thought. And so you're really the master of your own destiny. If you have other priorities beside this one, you are making a compromise, and you are literally putting yourself back in the tomb. So we have the first commandment. Have no other gods before your own spirit. And the second commandment, release yourself from the belief that you are not completely the Spirit of God living in a body of pure spirit. And as you work on fulfilling these two commandments, you are learning to know God aright, opening the doors of grace, feeling the inevitability of perfection in everything you do. The separation from spirit made man poor. But he was never less than spirit, though apparently separated. He was poor in spirit only because he didn't know he was spirit. And in the awakening that he is not poor in spirit, he inherits the earth. He finds he is truly blessed, even though he had seemed to be poor in spirit. And so it is with each of us. No matter how we may appear to be, no matter what the circumstances of our life in a graven image may appear to be, the only thing wrong is that we are separated from our own spiritual self by thought. And so we become poor in the substance of life, poor in spirit. But we are blessed because we are the very substance in which we think we are poor. And the moment we know this, we remove the curse in the Garden of Eden, which says, I will destroy your progeny. All the children of false thought are to be destroyed. But blessed are the poor in spirit. The curse is removed when you are illuminated, enlightened, opened up to the soul realm. And now, how can I be poor in spirit if I am spirit? And over the horizon comes this sunshine of new thought. And if I am spirit, how much of it am I? Well, there's no way to divide it up. I can't have any less than someone else or any more. Nobody has a monopoly on spirit. The fullness of the Father is everywhere. So no matter what you may appear to be, how confined, how limited, it's all universal thought accepted, and then you suffer from that thought. The infinity of spirit is present everywhere as your very being. Nobody has to give it to you. You don't go to someone and say, give me some of yours. It is you. And there's nothing missing in it. The complete spectrum of the Spirit of God is your being now. And all belief that it isn't is the graven image. Roll away the stone, the false belief. Take no thought with a human mind, but be ye still. Wait upon the Lord. First, accept the truth, be still, and let the truth you have accepted show itself. And it will announce, "Behold, I am come." My yoke is easy. This living self within you is your Savior. No one can take it away. No one has power over it. Neither governments, nor armies, nor conditions. It has dominion over the land, the sea, and the sky. It is the invisible Savior within each of us. I am at hand. Preach ye the gospel to the world. The kingdom of God is at hand. It is I in the midst of you. Let's go a few steps further now. I not only do not exist in a graven image, but it does not exist. There is none. There never was. All over this universe, every graven image is part of the illusion of the world mind. It is an unobstructed universe. And if you have no human thought to build obstructions, you walk now in the unobstructed spiritual universe. You do not make things happen in it. You are a guest. Your spirit does all the work. You yield yourself to the invisible spiritual universe where there is no obstruction of form. You identify as that invisible universe. You do not identify as one of the visible objects of this world. You maintain consciousness as that invisible self. You eliminate belief in the existence of other visible selves. They are not there. When you walk through them everywhere. They are not there. You live in your invisible self, which is unobstructed by the objects of this world, whether they be persons or rivers or mountains. You are not obstructed. You do not gather heat from the sun or minerals from the earth. They are copies, they are graven images of what you already are. You are your own light. You are independent. And this is the truth of your being. Only when you live in the knowledge of this truth can it manifest. But it does when you live in it. it becomes living substance. It becomes manna from the sky. It becomes gold in the fish's mouth. No human mind makes it so. It becomes that self which never knows death. It becomes your joy. It becomes your harmony. It becomes what is called God's mercy, which is the opposite of the karma. Mercy, in spiritual language, is divine harmony, which is the opposite of human karma. The mercy of the Father flows through your being because it is one. You're letting divine automation flow. You're accepting it. Your being, the substance of life itself. And this is the truth of you. Your assignment, not just for this afternoon or in preparation for tonight, but your assignment as a student of truth, always, is to develop your capacity to know the nothingness of the forms around you and the allness of the spirit that is there, to commune consciously with that spirit, to identify with it as your spirit, to even be aware that the graven images walking the earth with two legs or four legs are unaware of the nature of their own predicament. And so they may come to you many times with their predicaments to help you solve them for them. And you cannot teach them all, but you can know the truth. And some will ask you to teach them, and that will be wonderful. But it cannot be done quickly. You can't pull any rabbits out of the hat. It takes time for an oak tree to appear from a seed. It takes time to take a human consciousness and open it up to the spirit. But you can always bear witness to what is there and remain true to yourself. The first chapter of Genesis is the first commandment. The second chapter of Genesis is the second commandment. It explains the nature of the veil, the nature of the dream, the manner in which a counterfeit universe inhabited by counterfeit forms seems real to those counterfeit forms. And while you are trying to find your way through these commandments into the pure light behind them, you are experiencing more and more of your own soul faculty. You are developing soul consciousness so that the truth that is embodied within your soul becomes more of something that you can recognize. And the untruth becomes something that you can identify, so that you do not accept the untruth as apathetically as we have in the past. The moment you see the untruth and become aware of it, it becomes distasteful. You feel shabby with it. You know that there is something in you better than the untruth. and you overcome it. And then the light of your being is just that much purer in your consciousness until it is without blemish. Just think. Everything you see in this world is in your mind. Everything. And not one thing in it is true. Not one. All that is there is the pure Spirit of God. The pure Spirit of God is everywhere, and the human mind is completely out of contact with it. But the soul is the Spirit of God, and the faculty of that Spirit to lead you into itself. We are being reborn of the Spirit. Well, have a joyous day. We'll be back tonight and see what the Spirit has in store for us.